Good morning, or actually good afternoon, everybody. Today I'm going to be talking about contextual influences on sexual behavior amongst young people in Bolivia and the Dominican Republic. In other words, what we're really interested in looking at is what is it about the community environment that shapes risk-taking behavior amongst young people? This is really important because the influence of the community on sexual behavior is really relatively unexplored. And if we have better information about this, we can then create and improve interventions that seek to reduce risk-taking behavior. I have no relationships to disclose. In public health, there has been a lot of interest around identifying the characteristics that make an individual more or less likely to engage in risky sexual behavior. The basic assumption is that if we know what influences high-risk behavior, we can modify these influences, and thus we can also modify the behaviors. But the problem is that while we know a lot about what influences a person's sexual behavior in terms of their individual level characteristics, like for instance whether they're married or their marital status, we don't know as much about how the environment that they live in shapes their sexual behavior. There have been studies about community influences on sexual behavior, but these have been very US, Europe, and recently Africa focused. And obviously, we can't just extrapolate that data to Latin America because the region has its own context-specific history and culture. And even within Latin America, we would see variations between different communities. So with this in mind, our research can really be understood as an attempt to answer the following questions. Does the community environment shape sexual behavior in Bolivia and in Latin America? And what elements of the community environment influence the sexual behavior of young people in these countries? Ultimately, the answers to these questions will provide us with a much more complete picture of how to create and how to improve interventions that look at sexual risk-taking activity amongst young people. So let's start by discussing some of the main barriers to reproductive health amongst young people in Latin America. For starters, in Latin America, there is one of the highest rates of HPV worldwide. Here, cervical cancer actually ranks as the second most frequent form of cancer amongst women between the ages of 15 and 44 years old. And if we look specifically at the two countries that I'll be analyzing today, Bolivia and the Dominican Republic, we know that in Bolivia, cervical cancer is the leading cause of mortality amongst cancer deaths. And if in the Dominican Republic, cervical cancer is the most common cause of cancer amongst women between the ages of 15 and 44 years old. As far as HIV goes, we know that yes, relative to sub-Saharan Africa and Asia, levels of HIV are relatively lower. But because these levels are lower, there's been low investment in prevention from the government. And there are also, because of that, very low levels of knowledge and high levels of stigma that are attached to it. Parallel to this, we know that there are concentrated epidemics of HIV amongst high-risk groups, like, for instance, men who have sex with men or sex workers, and both of these have the potential to grow and expand into the larger population. So really, again, by improving our understanding of sexual behavior amongst young people in Latin America, and especially our understanding of how the community shapes this sexual behavior, there's ample potential to address some of the barriers that we just discussed. The information that we analyzed came from the Demographic Health Survey data, which is a source of large, nationally representative data for each country. From these data sets, we extracted and then analyzed information for Bolivian men and women, and also for Dominican men and women, between the ages of 15 and 24 years old. And to evaluate recent sexual behavior, we modeled four different outcomes. For the binary outcomes, condom use at first sex and condom use at last sex, we used logistic regression. And for the continuous outcomes, number of partners in the last year and age at first sex, we used linear regression. These outcomes were modeled both at an individual and at a community level, controlling for other variables. So, for example, if we think about the young woman at the right of the screen who's from Colomí, Bolivia, we would want to know two things about her. For individual level characteristics, we would want to think about what characteristics belong to this woman that will have an effect on her sexual behavior. And for community level factors, we would want to know what characteristics of the community or the environment that shape this woman's life will have an effect on her sexual behavior. The focus of our study here is really on the community-level data, because that's where the research gaps actually lie. But individual-level data still varies from context to context, so it is very important that we also look at this individual-level data for the two countries that we'll be looking at. It's important also to know that community-level data was not included in the DHS data set. We actually created this by averaging the responses for all individuals within a specific primary sampling unit. And what a primary sampling unit is, for those of you who don't know, is basically a sampling unit that's used by the DHS that consists of about 20 to 30 households. And for our purposes, this is going to be a proxy for a community. Within the individual and household level data, we looked at four main overlapping categories of variables. We looked at demographics, we looked at healthcare knowledge and behavior, we looked at economic prosperity, and also gender norms and inequalities. And as you can see, the different variables under each category that we used are also listed in this diagram. I won't go over the individual ones, but I will be going into the community ones in further depth. So within the community level data, we looked at the same four categories of variables. But here we're going to take a moment to really examine the specific variables that we analyzed, since this is really such an important part of our analysis. So under the demographic category, we looked at the percentage of the community that identified themselves as being of indigenous descent. We also looked at the mean number of children born to women in the community. And finally, we looked at the percentage of married men and women in each community. Under the healthcare knowledge and behavior category, we looked at the average level of media exposure per community. So basically, this consisted of how often do people in the community, how often are they exposed to the newspaper, the radio, and to magazines and TV. We also evaluated the average levels of reproductive health knowledge, and we also looked at HIV-related knowledge in the community. And we looked at what percentage of the community was engaged in regular physical activity. So for that, we looked at things like, did they walk for exercise, or did they play football or basketball or other activities that would fall under that category. Under the economic prosperity category, we examined the mean level of household wealth per community and the percentage of men and women that were employed in each community. And finally, for gender norms and inequalities, we looked at the percentage of the community that holds a perception of domestic violence as being more socially acceptable, and also the average amount of autonomy or decision-making power that was felt by men and women in a particular community. This figure basically shows the distribution of the continuous outcomes that we modeled. We can see that in both countries, men have a lower age of sexual debut than women do. And we can also see that men in both countries have a higher mean number of partners in the past 12 months than their female counterparts did. For the binary outcomes that we modeled on condom use, we can see that for both condom use at first sex and also condom use at last sex, condom use in each of the countries is higher amongst men than women. And if we look at both countries in the DR, it's highest amongst men. As far as individual level results go, we found the following patterns. For condom use at first sex, we found that men who smoke in either country are at higher risk of not using a condom. We also found that men and women in the DR who spend a lot more time watching TV, listening to the radio, or reading the newspaper were more likely to use a condom. For condom use at last sex, we found that for Bolivian and Dominican men, being older actually increases your risk of not using a condom. And for men and women in both countries, being married also increases your risk of not using a condom. And one thing that was really interesting about our study is that we actually found that in Bolivia, men and women who played basketball were more likely to have used a condom for both of these outcomes. So we have no idea what's going on here, but it definitely posed a lot of really interesting questions for us. For individual level factors that were associated with number of partners and age at first sex, we also found some really interesting results. Excuse me. For women in both countries, employment was associated with having fewer sexual partners. And for men in the DR, alcohol use seemed to be associated with having more sexual partners. And finally, for Bolivian women and for Dominican Republic men, being married was associated with having fewer sexual partners as well. So having gotten a sense of how the individual level factors come into play, here's where we really begin to answer the question that we posed earlier, which is basically, what is it about the community environment that really shapes risk-taking behavior amongst young people in these countries? And here is basically what we learned. Women in the Dominican Republic were more likely to use a condom at first sex if they belonged to a community with a higher average number of women employed. Men in Bolivia were more likely to have sex at an early age or to not use a condom, either at first sex or at last sex, if they belonged to a community in which the mean ethnicity was identified as being indigenous. Men and women from both countries were also less likely to use a condom at first sex if they lived in a community where domestic violence was more socially acceptable. And men in the DR who lived in this type of community were also less likely to use a condom the most recent time that they had sex. And finally, men and women from both countries were more likely to use condoms at last sex if they belonged to a community that had a higher average number of children per household. So we do have, we do have two main limitations in our study. When we created our community level data, we used the PSU as our proxy for a community, as I mentioned earlier. Well, this actually limits the definition of community a little bit because it may not necessarily be the case for some individuals that they define their community geographically. So we do have to take that into account as a potential limitation. Our analysis also relies heavily on self-reported data, and for young people who may fear stigma or who may answer questions in a particular way because of social desirability, the answers that they give may be inaccurate. So this may also have introduced a little bit of bias into the data. But even despite these limitations, these findings do provide us with a more complete and ultimately a more valuable idea about how the community environment shapes sexual risk-taking amongst young people. So in closing, the factors that shape risky sex vary by country, they vary by gender, and they vary by outcome. And there is ample evidence to suggest that community-wide factors do influence sexual behavior. So this new information can actually serve as an important stepping stone for potential initiatives that seek to improve our understanding of sexual behavior amongst young people in Latin America. Thank you for your time.
Were there any questions for Sarah?
For community level data?
Right.
That's actually what we found. Yeah,
so
interesting. So if there were more children in the community, an average more children per household in the community.
Then they were more likely to use condoms.
More likely to use condoms.
Do you have
any thoughts as to why?
Yeah.
I mean, this is very preliminary, so I'm take it with a grain of salt, if you will, but it may just be that being exposed to seeing, you know, sort of an economic taxation or just socially taxing, the effect of having a lot of children in a household, being exposed to that may kind of influence individuals to actually decide, you know what, maybe I want to reduce the number of kids that I have. But that, I mean, that's just a preliminary hypothesis, yeah.
I was wondering methodologically, you looked at mean level for your community level factors. Mm-hmm. I wonder, did you ever look into things like quartiles or say, because I wonder in a community, say where you have large disparity, but or a few wealthy people, but a lot of lower income people, I wonder if you're erasing some of the diversity. So I just was curious if you looked into that.
Well, what we actually did was create indices. Can everybody hear me?
No.
Okay. So what Jenny asked was whether we looked into creating quartiles rather than just averaging the mean wealth per household?
Right. Or instead of looking at community level factors at the mean, looking at, say, the proportion falling under a certain level or something like that.
Yeah. So one of the things that we did was we created indices. So for specifically for wealth, it was actually already divided into quartiles. And the DHS very conveniently already gives you that information divided into quartiles.
Is there any sort of, in terms of the measures you use for the health behavior at the community level, like knowledge of HIV, activity level, is there anything that would have liked to have information about that's particular to the community level life in the DR or in Bolivia?
Yeah, there was. There was a lot of information. There were some things that I thought were pretty basic that I would have really liked to have information on that unfortunately weren't included. And they weren't necessarily specific to those countries. For instance, alcohol use was, which I didn't mention in this presentation because it was, well, I did actually only for the DR, but that information was only available for Dominican Republic men. So it's really interesting, and one using common sense, one could say, well, maybe that has a big impact on risky sexual behavior. And I would have liked to see that, you know, for all of the countries involved. And we can talk later about some of the others.
Okay. Any more questions? Okay, next we have Dr. Jenny Higgins. Dr. Higgins is an assistant professor in the Heilbronn Department of Population and Family Health at Columbia University's Mailman School of Public Health in New York. She researches and writes about pleasure, sexuality, and the prevention of unintended pregnancy and STIs, including HIV/AIDS. Please help me welcome Dr. Jenny Higgins.